Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
Going to take our text out of the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2. If you're going to use the Pew Bible, it's on page 525. But Daniel chapter 2, we're going to look at some verses in here this morning. I'm going to do it a little different than I normally do. I'm not going to read or start preaching right after I read this text this morning. I want to do it a little different. But chapter 2 of Daniel. A very familiar passage of Scripture and story in the Bible, one that I know all the children enjoy hearing about, the old King Nebuchadnezzar there in Babylon, and he's got Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in captivity. And the old king here, as we see in chapter 2 of Daniel, it's in the second year of his reign, so they've been over there in Babylon for a while now. And remember, Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego had spent 3 years training to be some of the wise men in Babylon. They were Hebrew children, been taken from captivity over there into this land and having to serve under this wicked king, this pagan, wicked Chaldean king. And here he is in his second year of his reign, and he's had a dream. And he's had a dream, and it's troubled him greatly. And the thing I want you to remember about his dream is his dream was given to him by God Almighty. His dream didn't come out of something he ate the night before. It didn't come from something he had learned on his own. But God had sent this dream to him to show him a snapshot, a picture of what was to come in the future. Now, we all know, as we read through the prophecy of it there and we studied through Daniel, that this future, of course, is going to be when the Gentile nation rises up and rules over the land. And that's what the dream was all about. And we know the kingdoms that were represented there, the Romans and the Persians, the Medo-Persians and things going through there. We're not going to talk about that this morning, but this dream he's had has greatly troubled him. And there, if you look in the first part of chapter 2, in the first 13 verses or so, 12 verses, the king has, he's called all these wise men to come in. Now, these men are on the payroll of the king. These men have came, and they're astrologers, they're magicians, they're soothsayers, there's these men that are able to predict the future and to tell of dreams and interpret them, and most of them, really, they were just a bunch of phonies is what they were. And you're going to see they admit to that. They admit that they have no power to be able to interpret his dreams. In fact, they tell him there's no man in the flesh could interpret the dreams of the king, that only the gods, the little g, gods, could interpret his dream. Well, Nebuchadnezzar is going to refuse to tell them what the dream was about. He tells them he's forgot it. He can't remember it. And so therefore they must interpret his dream, tell him what it was, and then tell him what it meant. Well, of course they all say, well, this is unheard of. This don't happen like this. You see what they did? They had their little books. They had all their little dreams and all the little things that happened before, and they had them written down in these books, and they could go back and refer to them. So they would get a little information from you. They would go and research what's happened in the past. They'd come up with a little prediction for you or an interpretation that sounded good. It's kind of like these phony fortune tellers you see maybe advertising on TV. Call this 800 number and they'll tell you your future. I'll tell you what your future is. It is appointed unto man wants to die, and after this is judgment. That's your future. But these guys are just baloney, full of baloney. And he understands that, because they say, King, we can't interpret your dreams. They say down there in verse 9 there of Daniel 2, it says, but if you will not make known unto me the dream, there's but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. And this is what they said, verse 10. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it's a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, again, little g gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Father, thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Lord, may you bless it. Lord, may it do a mighty work within our hearts this morning. For it's these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to look at from this point forward. We've caught up with where we're at. I want to look at this point forward of the life of this Daniel. Daniel, this Hebrew, this very blessed man of God. Now, we find out the king has sent this decree to slay all the wise men in the kingdom. Now, this is going to include everyone, including these Hebrews that we just talked about, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Apparently, they were not there at the palace as the other ones were. They were not in the immediate vicinity. And so the king sends off to get them where they're at. And so he sends off the butcher of Babylon, this Arioch. Arioch is the king's top guard. And history tells us the name Arioch means a butcher of animals. And so that's what he is. That's why I refer to him as the butcher of Babylon. He's the mean guy. He's not somebody you want to face. I remember as a child watching wrestling on TV, and there was this one fellow on there. His name was Lord Humongous, and he scared me to death. He would come on TV. He was probably, 6'9" or something. He's a huge man, wore a big mask and a leather thing around him. And boy, he'd come out, and he was just intimidating, and he looked like some kind of butcher to me. And I imagine that's Arioch. He's there. He's the butcher of Babylon. He's going to carry forth the decree. Take these wise men, Daniel and his friends there, and they're going to slay them. They're going to kill them. Well, verse 13, the Bible says, "And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain." Well, of course, these men, the Bible refers to them there as magicians. That would be magi. You've heard that name. Soothsayers, sorcerers. And they could not grant the king's desires. How dare they defy the king's rules and laws? How dare they not be able to do their job? He's paying their way through. These men are pretty well-known men. They're very wealthy men. And they have a lot of fear. A lot of people fear these men because they claim to have some powers from gods. Well, they've already here declared that they really don't have any of these powers. And so it doesn't look good for them to be on the payroll and not be able to do their job. They'd be like me going into work and somebody call in wanting to troubleshoot a computer. And I say, oh, I don't have a clue how to troubleshoot a computer. Well, that's my job. You know, what if I said, told my boss, I can't do that. I have no power to troubleshoot a computer. Well, that's what we hired you for. That's what the king's saying. I've hired you to do this. And you tell me you can't do this. I'm just going to get rid of them and slay them. Well, the Bible says they sought Daniel and his fellows. Now, his fellows there, you know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their Hebrew names, of course, were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, their names got changed when they were brought into captivity to identify with the gods of Babylon. They worshiped the Baal god and several other gods. And so they changed their names to reflect and identify with that culture and to try to strip the Hebrew culture out of them. Same with Daniel. Daniel, they called him Belteshazzar. That means, I believe it was oh, Baal, protect us or something like that. It was a name for Baal. And so they called him Belteshazzar. And they tried to take God out of their lives and put their little gods into their lives. Well, it didn't work for these men, of course, we know. They refused to take of the king's meat, drink of the king's wine. And so they were very, very godly men. Well, verse 14 says, "Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom." You might want to underline that word wisdom. "And to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered, said Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel." Now, I want to give you right quickly some things in Daniel's life, some qualities in him. Now, last Sunday we gave you some qualities of John the Baptist that should be in your life. Tonight, or this morning, I'm going to look at six qualities in Daniel's life that should be present in our lives. As a believer in Christ this morning, we should have some of these qualities within us. First of all, see that the Bible says that Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom. Daniel had great wisdom. He didn't do like most men that would have feared and trembled and ran. You know, if that'd been me and the butcher of Babylon come knocking on my door and said that the king was going to slay me, I'd be I'd be saying, where do you want a back door in this house? I'd be trying to get out. It'd be like on Bugs Bunny when they run through the wall and you see the shape of them. I'd be that guy trying to run out of there. But not Daniel. Daniel, the Bible says he answered with counsel and wisdom. He stood there in front of the butcher knowing that his life was in his hand. And he asked him, he didn't just, you know, start being incoherent and start babbling in front of him and being belligerent, you know, trying to protect his life, begging, grabbing him by the legs and saying, no, don't kill me, don't kill me. He says, now, wait a minute now, Arioch. Why is the king so hasty about this? Tell me what's going on here. So he's going to use a little wisdom. Well, Jesus tells us about his followers in Luke 21 and 15. He said, for I'll give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Daniel has that wisdom that only God can give you. Now, there's a lot of smart men in this world today. You can get an atheist today. He may be brilliant. He may have an IQ that I couldn't even dream of having, but yet he don't have God's wisdom in him. And he can't be a godly, couldn't have that godly wisdom to be able to come and do this. Now, notice, he's not ready to roll over and flip-flop and say, you know, I'm giving up on God and I'll do whatever the king says. You know, he's not doing that. He's leaning on the everlasting arms is what he's doing. Verse 16 said, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Now, what I find in Daniel's life right here, this quality I'm seeing in this verse, is Daniel had great faith. Great faith. How many of us today, standing in this adversity that Daniel's standing in, knowing the decree has been given, and you know the decrees the kings give, they usually don't bring them back. They don't cancel those decrees. Daniel goes with great faith that God is going to protect him and his friends, and he goes before the king himself and desires of him to give him some more time. He has great faith that God's going to allow him to do that. Now, you know in Matthew 17:20 that Jesus says, if you have faith the grain of a mustard seed, that you can move mountains. Daniel had such faith. Daniel had that faith in his life, and he come before the king. The king might as well have been a mountain. But Daniel stood before him. Wouldn't you love to have some of that faith this morning? I remember Peter standing there, stepping off of the side of the ship, and he started walking on the water, and Jesus was standing there, and he was walking toward him. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was fine. He was walking on that water, but when he took his eyes off of Jesus, what happened? The Bible says he started looking around. He looked around. What happened? He got afraid. His faith started wavering, and what happened? He started sinking and drowning. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. It's what he said, and the Lord saved him. As long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, that faith that we have, friends, it's there. He marches right into the king's palace, asking for more time. You know, we should all take a little bit of faith lesson from Daniel. He had that faith. 17, the Bible says, then Daniel went to his house, and he made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellow should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Well, the third thing I find this attribute or quality in Daniel's life for God is he is a man of prayer. Prayerful he is. What he is. I want you to notice there what he does now. He goes to his companions. He goes to his companions and he asks them to pray with him. Petition God on our behalf. Do this for me, because this is something that's come up against us, and only God's going to be able to deliver us from it. Friends, let's get down on our knees tonight in this building, and let's pray to God that He's going to deliver us from this evil thing the king has planned for us, and that He'll show us this interpretation. And that's what they do. James 5 and 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Bavelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.